Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Responding to a query received by email, a devotee writes, I'm going to paraphrase all this to make it a bit shorter. A devotee writes that he's been confused for many days and tried to get clarification about some particular issue from various devotees, but still being confused, he thought better to seek guidance from myself. Yeah, that's. I would prefer if devotees, when they have some confusion, ask knowledgeable devotees in their vicinity, or nowadays your vicinity is the whole world. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he had so many disciples, and there are so many questions devotees had, but Srila Prabhupada, after some time, referred questions. He wanted that his disciples ask their senior god brothers, because a lot of the questions are asked again and again and again. And often you'll find Srila Prabhupada, when he's asked a question, say, "Oh, this is an old question." Or he'd ask, have you not read my books?" Srila Prabhupada worked hard to produce his books, to give knowledge to answer all questions. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. But if there's a case where you don't get something cleared up, then yeah, you can ask me. But please bear in mind, I get a lot of emails, and I'd really like to concentrate as far as possible on finishing my books, preparing talks like this. Now, this query, you won't get an answer in any book particularly, although I have to finish my Vaishnav Culture and Etiquette book, and then many of these things will become clear from this. The topic is that some months before, the devotee said he desired to memorize chapters of the Gita verse by verse. So I thought it can be best be done through regularly hearing the recorded recitation. Best be done, it can be helpful, but really you have to do your, it's not just hearing, you have to recite it again and again and again. If we were Shrutidhar, we hear once and we could remember, that would be very nice. And some people, they can hear many times and they don't remember. Some people hear once and they remember, and you get in-between cases like myself. I half remember so many verses. So it is, yeah, it's a very good thing to do if you're going to be, especially if we're preaching Krishna consciousness, to learn Bhagavad Gita verses. And even for our own spiritual uplift, to chant these verses, it's very purifying. And we can meditate on the subject of the and imbibe that more and more. Then he said, "I asked such and such a devotee, can I get his recordings of Gita verses?" And then he told me that I had told that devotee that it's better not to circulate his Gita recitations because of some mispronunciation. Then I got the Gita recitation recorded by Vyoma scholars. Now, I don't know what this Vyoma scholars is, but the word Vyoma means sky, and you can suspect that it's something quite impersonal. The pronunciation of the recording is quite clear, and some devotees also told me that I myself also listened to these recordings, so I started to listen to them. Then after some time, some devotees were discussed that these recordings are from a Mayavadi and we should not listen to them because it's like drinking the milk touched by a snake. Avaishnavamokod girnam putam harikatamritam shravanam naiva karatavya sharpo chishta yata payam. It is not to be done. Hearing the nectar of topics of Krishna should not be done from non-Vaishnavas, just as you should not drink milk. Do not drink milk that has been touched by the lips of a serpent. Milk that has been drunk by a poisonous snake. The remnants of milk may look like milk, may taste like milk, but they don't nourish like milk. They are poisonous. So in the same way, we shouldn't hear Harikatha from non-devotees. Then the devotee writes, well, should I listen from these scholars or from devotees? Now, I don't know exactly what this is, because I also got some recordings, I don't know, Vyoma might be called or whatever, from and of Gita recitation, and pronunciation, perfect. So I was quite pleased to get that, but then I almost immediately I stopped listening to it because it just sounded like just such an impersonalistic feeling. I just had the feeling, I don't know exactly where they were coming from, but it just sounded like impersonalists. I don't know how to explain that, how you can say exactly what an impersonalist sounds like, but it just didn't feel, I just didn't get the right feeling from it. Then the devotee asks, I got confused also when I was listening to some kirtan sung by a certain devotee, and some devotees told me that his current devotional status is not good, so we should not listen to him. And then others said, no, it's okay. And he specifically asked about Vidya Bhushanji, another fallen devotee. Should we listen to him or not? So that's the question. Who should we hear from? Recitations and songs. Now, there are different reasons in answering this. First of all, let's analyze it. There are different reasons to listen to recitation of the verses of Bhagavad Gita, songs, devotional songs, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One reason which has been stated by this devotee to help us to learn by heart. It is helpful, although there's no substitute for ourselves reciting and trying to memorize. Unless we have a very good memory, we can just pick it up. But the very fact that he wants to learn it suggests that there are some devotees, just like Bhakti Charu Swami, recently passed away. Boom, he'd pick up a verse just like that. Just learn it, just like that. That's unusual. Some people try to learn and they just can't remember. And then there are others, like myself, who are in between. So hearing to learn is one reason. Another reason that I like to hear Gita shlokas recited, I have recordings, various bhajans recorded, is, although you've heard it many times before, but to imbibe the message also, when we hear again and again and again the verse, and we more or less know the meaning, daivihi esha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. It may be something, we know the verse very well, we memorized it decades ago, but still it is helpful to hear them, the verses, again and again and again. It just helps for it to go deeper into our consciousness. It's a contemplation. We know from the Upanishads, Shravan Manan Nididhasana, hearing, contemplating, and Chitete Kuriya Aika, making it one with our heart. Another reason for hearing is, which should be for purification. Yeah, everything we do should be for purification. Let's see if I can remember that verse. Here's one of the verses which I kind of know. Kayena manasa vacha. What's the next line? Kayena manasa vacha. Ah, see, I didn't learn it properly. Kayena manasa vacha. Indriyara kevalam api. Yoginam karma kurvanti tyaktva sangha atma shuddhet. I didn't learn it properly. There you go. Anyway, the purport is, I could probably get away with it, most people, but someone who's studied Gita well, they know I'm making sangham tyaktva atma shuddhet. Someone who's studied Gita well could understand. Otherwise, you can bluff your way through. You can stand up in a public meeting and say, Sarvadaman parityaja yovanang Sarvadaman parityaja Kurukshetre, Dharmakshetre. You can just get completely mixed up and people won't know. Don't do that. Not recommended. Remember, reciting the verses, it's also the song of God. So we should be respectful to the verses themselves. They're none different from Krishna. Imbibing the message for purification. Now for that purpose, for purification, everything we do is meant for purification. That's what I meant to say. Kayena manasa vacha. What then? I said, Kayena manasa vacha. The karma came. Karmana indriyairapi. The yogis abandoning attachment with their. No, I already said karma. So, with their activities, with their bodies, with their mind, everything they do for the sake of purification. Kevalaya indriyarpi. Karmana manasavacha, indriyai, kayena manasavacha, kevalaya indriyarpi, yoginam karma kurvanti, Sangam tyaktvatma shuddhe. Okay, got it. So everything we do should be for the sake of purification, which means becoming more Krishna conscious. And even learning verses so we can preach, well, that's part of our service, isn't it? Our ongoing, our life service. That's also why we're trying to train children in the Gurukul, they can learn these verses and not be handicapped like us, that we learned all so many nonsense things in our childhood. That from the beginning they can learn these things, imbibe them, and if it's learned in childhood, then it'll be an asset for their whole life. Then, for pleasure, in other words, Krishna likes nice music, and we can also appreciate it as sub-enjoyers. Music and the message, we can also, after all, bhakti is for bhakti rasa. It's not that we just execute devotional service and we just want to be blocks of stone. There's, as Srila Prabhupada explains, in the beginning of his rendition of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion, that why do people do anything? Because there's a ras in it. There's some taste or some pleasure in it. So there's no, it's not wrong to enjoy listening to devotional music, but at the same time, the motive should not be how I can enjoy, but we enjoy hearing how someone is very nicely engaging their God-given talent in the service of God, and we enjoy how the whole science of music, which has been given by Krishna for his own glorification. That's ultimately all these things come from the Haladini Shakti, from Srimati Radharani. Everything is manifested by her for Krishna's enjoyment. And we are invited to partake in that enjoyment with a spirit of service. So for pleasure, if we don't take pleasure in hearing the melodious sounds of devotees purely singing for Krishna, then we are likely to seek pleasure in mundane music. Interestingly, although according to strict interpretations of Islam, music should not be allowed in Islam, but we find in the Islamic countries they have their musical traditions also. And even though music per se is not allowed, but the way the chants are done, the azan from the mosque is done in a somewhat melodious way. Similarly, art is not allowed, but the whole art of calligraphy was developed for writing Quran verses in a very beautiful way. Instead of denying all these tendencies, Vaishnavism engages them in the service of Krishna. That is dovetailing. Srila Prabhupada used that term, dovetailing. Interesting. Dovetail, a dovetail joint in carpentry is shaped like a dovetail, a dove's tail. And so it's derived from the shape of the dovetail. And then the word dovetail means used to join together, is used by Srila Prabhupada in that sense. This is just some English linguistic analysis. As far as purification is concerned, hearing for purification, there's no comparison to Srila Prabhupada hearing his kirtans and bhajans. For learning Bhagavad Gita, now eight or nine chapters of the Bhagavad Gita recorded by Srila Prabhupada recordings are there, but I wouldn't recommend hearing them for learning because, and that may sound blasphemous, but I'll explain that, because Srila Prabhupada chants with Bengali pronunciation, Jantra Rudhani Maya. Now, if you go in an assembly of Indians, who may know Gita shlokas, and if you're outside of Bengal or Orissa, and you say Jantra Rudha, and then you explain this body is just like a jantra, but the standard pronunciation is yantra, and Kotriya. People, you find in Bhagavad Gita the word several times come up, Kshatriya. Srila Prabhupada pronounced it, the Bengali pronunciation, Kshatriya. So if we're learning for preaching, then it's going to be more effective for our preaching to pronounce it in the manner that is standard outside Bengal. And of course, Srila Prabhupada pronounced it in Bengali pronunciation, and his preaching was the most effective everywhere. But then, does that mean we have to speak with non-standard English grammar, as Srila Prabhupada did, and we should make the same literary or what from this point of view of standard English usage would be misuse of English words. Should we do that? No, that doesn't make sense. To extend the example further to show how it is best that we do everything properly. That's why, properly according to standard conventions. That's why Srila Prabhupada wanted his books edited, because he understood that in terms of standard English, it wasn't up to standard. So similarly with his pronunciation. Like I say, people may shoot me for saying that. In some ways, I'd be happy, because it'd be nice that people actually care something about Srila Prabhupada. But there is fanaticism also. Caring about Srila Prabhupada doesn't mean fanaticism, that we have to imitate exactly the way he chanted japa or anything else. We have to... It used to be like that. In the early days of the movement, you used to see... I mean, early days means I joined in 1970. You see devotees chanting, and they're trying to chant japa just like Prabhupada did, and imitate the way he walked with his head in the air. Pretty tough. If you're not careful, you'll bump into things. Personally, I have a habit of listening when I'm bathing, doing other things, of listening to Gita recitations, to various Sanskrit recitations, Bengali kirtan songs. It's been a part of my life in Krishna consciousness for decades now. I, for years, have been listening to the Gita recitation, the verses by Radha Gopinath Prabhu of Radha Gopinath Temple at Chaupati in Bombay. Well, who hasn't been there for many years now, but he's stationed elsewhere. His chanting is clear, at the same speed throughout, neither too fast nor too slow. Definitely he's a devotee, there's no question of that. So he's devotional, there's no Mayavad poison in there. The only thing is that just maybe two or three times he makes some, in the whole of the Gita, he makes some pronunciation error, which is pretty good. But another thing which I'm not that fond of, it's acceptable in Sanskrit recitation, but I'm not very fond of that, is he, while chanting, he often breaks the sandhis. And if you know what I mean, you know, and if you don't, I'm not going to explain it now. I would like to get a recitation by a devotee which is very well done, is in pronunciation-wise, including not breaking the sandhis within the verses. As you're there, at the person who's asking at Nandagram Farm, you can ask Jai Nityananda Prabhu to do. He's very good in recitation. You'd have to record that. If you get it recorded, you can give it to me too. You can do it yourself. Practice. Practice till you get it right, and then do it. Do maybe one verse at a time. I don't know if you have a recording facility there of any kind. As I was saying, I repeatedly hear verses and kirtans, even though I heard many times. It helps to learn. I was saying you don't learn automatically, but some things you just... If you hear again and again and again, maybe that's one reason why I only half know so many verses, because I didn't really sit down and properly learn. But when you've heard again and again and again, it enters into your mind to some extent, even with a relatively dull memory like mine. It's also a kind of sadhana, listening, especially hearing the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sharanagati. Sharanagati It's those and many other songs of his and of Narottam Das and other Vaishnav poets. It what does music do? It's poetry in a form which enhances the emotions. Poetry speaks to the emotions more than the intellect. Although in Vaishnav poetry, there's a whole philosophy underlying it. So it enters the ear, it enters even the heart, maybe steel framed, but gradually again and again and again, hearing something goes in. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is singing. His strong desire to be Krishna conscious, of course he is fully Krishna conscious, and that the bhav of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the bhav of Srila Prabhupada in his songs, of all these great Vaishnava acharyas, why did they write these songs and why did they leave them for posterity? Because it's to benefit us. They still live. A Vaishnav is living in sound. And so by hearing that sound, it's the expression of their heart's pure love for Krishna. So we can associate with them. We can experience the bhav crossing time and space and apparent death has taken place, but we can be in contact. Bhaktivinoda Thakur will speak to us through the devotee who's singing, and sometimes I just record the songs myself if I don't have a recording, which is very clear, or I don't have a recording at all. I just sing the song myself and keep a recording of it. So this has been for myself a very important part of my journey in Krishna consciousness. Whatever's there is the songs of the Vaishnava acharyas. Mentioned, should we hear from fallen devotees? It can be a quandary because there are recordings by devotees who were in good consciousness and who are not now. Should we hear? My tendency is to say yes. If it was executed in good consciousness and sincerity, and later the person deviates from that, well, let's take the Krishna consciousness that was there at the time. It's never lost. Although if the thinking about the present situation of that devotee makes us feel uncomfortable, then we may not want to. It's a very personal thing. It's very subjective, just like some people like jazz music and some people like hip-hop, whatever that is. I've heard of it. I don't think I would like it, whatever it is. That's in the material sphere. So, and different singers, some people like more than others. So it's a subjective thing also. For purification, again, listen to Srila Prabhupada. And it's a good practice to do so, to hear. I was asked about one devotee who was saying that his devotional practice isn't that good. Well, it's not that bad either. Maybe not as good as it could be, but I don't see that I wouldn't put in the fallen category. Kick them out, stomp them down, throw them out. I don't see he's in that category. The name of Vidya Bhushanji has been mentioned. He's an ex-sannyasi from another Vaishnava Sampradaya, South Indian, who's blessed by Krishna with an extraordinarily beautiful voice, which he sings very, very beautifully, various Sanskrit prayers. And fallen means he fell from sannyas. Is he still a devotee? Yes. I don't know that much about him. He's still going on singing about Krishna. If you like to hear him, you can. Personally, I don't like to that much because my taste is somewhat different. This particular devotee we're talking about. For me, his singing is just a bit too sweet. How can you define that? It's, again, it's a matter of taste. Srila Prabhupada's singing, maybe from the artistic point of view, it's not the most wonderful in the world. But there's real, even from the singing point, I'm not a musicologist. A musicologist could explain these things in more clearly and more technical terms. Srila Prabhupada's voice is very strong with a very resonant, not just in terms of voice, but a very deep feeling and conviction. And sometimes with different singers, it seems to me that their singing is a little stylized and it doesn't have that same depth of devotion. But again, it's subjective. The very fact that this particular person mentioned goes on singing very beautifully, that in itself suggests, I'm not saying he's not devotional, it's just saying that there are different tastes in devotion also. Bhishma liked to fight with Krishna. Mother Yashoda takes pleasure in Krishna running up to her and holding her, grabbing her leg, little baby Krishna, just able to walk. So there are different tastes in devotional service. Like I said, it's subjective. Mayavadis, I'd really prefer not to hear from even if they pronounce very nicely. Just feels, oof. A lot of feeling. Music's about feeling, ultimately, isn't it? It conveys feeling. This mundane music, they make songs about something. Now that I hear devotional music, devotional songs which are about reality, about Krishna, I just can't understand why people, I used to do it myself, why people listen to songs which have no real meaning at all. It's just some imaginary situation. A whiter shade of pale, and then there's a very nostalgic feeling. Nostalgic about what? Or, I loved you, but you went away. Or who, what, why, when? It's just something, you get, if you listen to it, you get into a kind of bhav of someone, kind of feeling of someone who's in a certain situation, and you enjoy that by participating in that mundane rasa, but it's just completely imaginary. Or it could be realistic also, something real. Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves. Well, that's an anachronism, but you could feel that there'll always be an England. Rubbish, there won't always be an England. God save our queen, she's going to die. So, but it's connected with something which is at least superficially real. But what is the feeling? Nationalism, it's also nonsensism. So we're very grateful again to Srila Prabhupada for having given us the real thing, which is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the acharyas who have given themselves to us, their feelings to us, by their songs. Hare Krishna. Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Charkipa Sindhubhya.